what do you listen to make your Monday mornings that much better? Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM. We play all kinds of comedy, stand-up, sketch, songs, even poetry, and the occasional interview. Mondays at 10:30 a.m. Tune in or listen to Absolutely Frivolous on our archives page on cfrc.ca.
St. Monday watches over you and me and grants the bone exhausted some liberty.
Hello, and thanks for tuning in to Songwriters from Here and Away. We feature songwriters from across Canada and around the world sometimes in their own voice, playing their songs.
Hello, and welcome to Songwriters from Here and Away. My name is Robert Campbell, and we have a show today featuring only Mr. Graham Nicholas. I did a live interview with Graham above the train tracks here in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. I think we'll play a song from his recent album and give you an idea of what he does on record, and then cut to the interview, the live interview, where he also performs live with his guitar. And we'll start out with this song, Julie Truly. Okay, we'll start into the live interview now with Graham Nicholas.
You're firing on all cylinders now.
Thanks for coming to this strange location here at the Alderney Landing.
Well, you know, folk music is for everybody, so we might as well do it in a public library.
So we're above the railroad tracks, and if a train comes by, we may have to pause.
I'll just sing a train song.
Yeah, exactly. Right on. Yeah. So you're from Kentville, are you?
No, I am from Toronto.
Toronto, Ontario.
Yeah, downtown Canada there.
Cool. So how long have you been here, and what are you going to do here?
Well, I've just been here about a year and a half. Yeah, kind of moved on a bit of a whim, but I had a lot of friends out this way, and I always liked the music scene and the culture, so, you know, sort of feel like I'm fitting in, I hope. I don't know. I guess that's up for everybody else to decide.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Well, it seems like, so you've got some tracks out, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been...
You've got how many albums now? 18?
No, not 18, maybe five.
Five? Yeah, good.
Yeah. I'm not double digits yet. But yeah, I've been putting out music maybe for like 12 years or so.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good. And like, so when you're performing, you're mostly solo, are you? Or do you have a band?
Well, I got a band back in Toronto, and then I've been working on putting a band together out here. But fortunately, you know, as a touring musician, I can do it as a solo artist. So, you know, that definitely helps because I only have to pay myself and manage my expectations and not everybody else's bank accounts or expectations.
Gotcha. So a year and a half, what's your favorite part of Nova Scotia? What's your favorite thing about this place?
Well, luckily my favorite part's the valley, which is where I live. It's like a summer's paradise out here. You know, I love being able to go to the beach every day and, you know, have bonfires at night with my friends and... But yeah, I love the music out here too, and so you know, I get out a lot to see as much music as I can, because that's a big part of throwing fuel on the fire, I guess. You know, I love seeing other people play.
I love doing it too. I don't get out enough, especially the last few years.
Right. But, we won't talk about that.
No, but it really helps you guide where maybe your music wants to go sometimes. Like it shows you what you don't want to do and maybe shows you what you sometimes want to do.
Yeah.
And how you want to perform and
I need that input to get an output.
Right. Yeah.
Cool. I love just being around that energy of people playing and having fun with music, you know? I just think it's great.
Yeah, if it ain't fun, don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been writing lots. How do you usually write solo or do you co-write much?
No, I've never co-written anything.
No?
I'm not sure how that would even go. Some people have, like, asked me, and I've always been like, I've said sure, but then, you know, I kind of, like, shy away and avoid them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I would do as a co-writer.
Yeah, every co-write situation is different, whether it's two or three or more people in the room and the people and everything is different. It's always changing. And
But I try and write as much as I can. Mostly, you know, I like to always have a notebook on hand. Or, you know, my notes app on my iPhone. Because I get a lot of ideas just by listening to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's where all my best songs come from.
The old coffee shop eavesdropping.
Yeah, when
things.
Someone says something funny, I'm like, ugh, like, pluck that out of the air and pop it in a song.
Yeah.
I find that always makes the best songs because if I can find, like, a good brick to build the rest of the house on, then it all goes well. Yeah. But if I have to just, like, pull from nothing, then, you know, I get some lines out of it, but it's never as fruitful as when I sort of latch onto something that someone is...
Yeah, you got to start somewhere with a kernel of something.
Right?
Yeah. But do you want to play us a tune that you've...
Sure.
Anything will do. Let's...
Sure.
Yeah.
This is off the new record. It's called Getting By With Less. And I guess when I was writing it, you know, I was right in the thick of all that stuff that we all went through the last couple of years. And I guess I was trying to think of what lesson I was learning from all this, because I feel like we should probably learn something. And I guess I realized that if I'm, like, forced to stay inside, or if we're all forced to stay inside and not really engage with the outside world, and we're no longer agents of action and change out there in the world, and we're just sitting in our living rooms for our whole lives, then like nothing good like forces its way into your life, like nothing good knocks on your door and says like, this is a great opportunity, but like tragedy sort of seemed to be inevitable. Even when I was doing nothing, like bad things kept happening. And so, you know, I thought, you know, when everything comes back, it's really important to like get out as much as you can and make things happen.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for everything to sort of come your way, because that just doesn't happen.
Right.
Anyway, that's what I was thinking about when I kind of wrote all this.
Cool.
Well, now I've been getting by with less. Running out the clock, trying to catch my breath. I'm letting go, trying to forget. But these days, I get by with less. Well, I'm just another dark horse bet. I'm the longest shot that you ever met. Underneath the dark cloud, weighed heavy with regret. But these days, I get by with less. Take an inch, try to make it my ooh, find true love in a passing smile. Won't last long, just hold on for a little while. And try playing with a three ace deck. Try to pay the rent with another bounce check. I'm trying to believe things will get better yet, but these days I get by with less.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Right on. Nice tune. Yeah.
Thanks.
So do you, when you write your tune and you get to the point where you're like 80 or 90% done, do you start like really rearranging? How do you go through the process of how you structure your tunes?
No, I don't go back a lot.
No?
As sort of as soon as like I like a thing, then I move on.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes like I can get stuck until I think the thing, like the line or whatever, is, it takes me a while sometimes to make sure that it's what I want it to be, and then what, so, but I never feel comfortable moving forward with the next line until I like what I've finished. So,
oh, okay, cool.
I don't really go back over things a lot.
Yeah, because some people will flesh out the tune and then they'll go back and parse it out and restructure it and redo.
I do it as I go.
Yeah,
yeah. I try not to move on until I'm happy with something. Which, I don't know, like. Everybody's got a different thing.
That's the way you do it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, everybody's absolutely different.
Yeah.
And any process can come up with a really great tune.
Yeah. Whatever the end result is, as long as you like the end result, maybe just don't question the process too much, I guess, or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever works.
Yeah, so you got some of the notes and notation and music theory a bit from piano kind of early on.
That's true, yeah.
And
I started trying to learn fiddle last winter.
Oh, okay.
With mixed results.
Do you have roommates?
I have neighbors, but no one has complained yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, and
they're all old, my neighbors, so maybe they're too deaf to hear it. I don't know. Well,
I'm old and I'm starting to lose my hearing too, so I get it. Yeah, but and the bass, playing the bass is really nice because it gives you the solid understanding of the root and the principle of the bottom end and the timing and all that stuff, and it makes you solid, right?
That's what I think
as
too.
A player,
you learn so much about the format of structure of songs when you play the bass.
Yeah. If I wasn't a keyboard player, I'd be a bass player.
I love playing bass.
Yeah.
It feels so good. It sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you definitely, like you said, you get to learn the positions of everything better.
Right. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. And the references to each other, the chord progressions and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Let's have another tune, man.
Sure.
Yeah. Pick one out of the blue or whatever you feel like.
I'll play this one. A song I wrote. I feel like this song kind of wears a lot of my John Prine influences on my sleeve.
Well, that's nothing wrong with John Prine.
No, he's the best. But this song I wrote based on that old nursery rhyme about the dish that falls in love and runs away with the spoon. Mm. And I was just like, I think it'd be funny to write a song about, like, you know, maybe the not so fun realities of like their marriage.
Cool.
And well, just see what happened.
Yeah, let's.
So, you know, I like catch up with them and they're in real life now.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
You know, let's just see how they're doing in the form of whimsical folk song.
Cuz what's the title of this one?
This one is called just The Dish and the Spoon.
Okay, cool.
Don't overthink it.
No.
Did you hear about that dish that ran away with the spoon? They ran right off and got married, shotgun honeymoon. They got a white picket fence, a big swimming pool, and three beautiful children in all the best schools. Then the spoon got hungry, went looking for a bite. He found a bowl full of lovin' on a Saturday night. He left his wife and his kids back home all alone. And now the dish and the spoon, they don't talk anymore. Went that old nursery rhyme. Human hearts can be fickle most all of the time. But did you hear about that cow that jumped over the moon? She looks down from the stars just to watch the world turn. She's got a nice patch for grazing on the astral plane. She sits on the banks of that old Milky Way. Oh, and Cassiopeia, she sits up on her throne with only the stars to gaze upon, while the Big Dipper's cup it overflows with water that falls like a rain down below. Oh, and a hey diddle diddle went that old nursery rhyme. Human hearts can be fickle most all of the time. And the cat sang her songs on the boat
Nice.
Thank
right
you.
On. Is that a new one that you've written in the last little while? Or?
Well, it's on the new record.
On the new record, yeah. So what's the title of the new album?
It's called Black Creek.
Black Creek.
I didn't put it on the last record that I made before Black Creek, and so it had just been sitting there for a while, and then I remembered it, and I was like, oh, I do really like that one.
Yeah.
So I dusted it off.
Cool.
And put it on the new album. And yeah, there's like three acoustic-y kind of stripped down tracks, and me and two acoustic guitars, an upright bass, a banjo, you know, mandolin, piano, kind of kept it really
acoustic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then some of the other tunes are more electric, full band.
Yeah, they're more like
kicking.
The band, or like Tom Petty and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Hammond organs and stuff.
There's organs on there.
Yeah.
Electric guitars.
Where'd you track that?
We did it at a studio in Toronto called The Gas Station, which is just on Toronto Island. Owned and operated by a guy named Dale Morningstar.
Great name.
Yeah, great name.
That's Graham Nicholas. We are going to take a short pause. Please don't go away. We'll be right back.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Bad Dawn, a new single by local act Lake Porter. The new song is about facing the impossible and surviving it with the people who never leave your side. It's a story of loyalty and defiance, staring down darkness and choosing love anyway. As faithful as the sun to a new dawn, it's a reminder that no matter how bad it gets, we rise together. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Bad Dawn by Lake Porter on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
All night, it gets a little brighter. All day, it gets a little dark. I don't want to drink every day, it just feels the same. I pour my last shot right down the drain, and maybe I'll find my sanity. And oh yeah, it's right in front of me. And this time I had it all wrong, but the good days gone and the bad days dawn on me.
I'm way too comfortable living a lie. Swore to myself a thousand times. But who's keeping score? Who's keeping me in line? I'm way offside. I've really done it this time. You say you want a good girl, but you're naturally inclined to relish in the dirty side streets running through my mind. And who would you rather me be? A statue or a mind? Time.
What if we knew it's the last sunset? We're holding hands and we're staring down death. And good days are in front of me. And good days are in front of me. Cause you're my Bonnie and I'm your Clyde. And since day one I've been ride or die. And this time I had it all wrong. But the good days gone and the bad days done. On me, on me,
the good days gone and the bad days dawn on me. On me. On me. The good days gone but the bad days dawn on me.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office and supported by our friends at Modern City Taxi, we're pleased to present a selection from Morio, the first full-length album by Kingston artist Lucas Wimmer. Performed, recorded, mixed, and mastered entirely by him in his home studio, this album is a departure from his previous releases and projects with a focus on songwriting. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Morio by Lucas Wimmer on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it here called Let Go with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Cataraqui on Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee land.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston, broadcasting with 3 million microwatts of power.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM, and you're listening to me, Cindy, on Absolutely Frivolous. This is an all-audio comedy show, and we have tons of different comedy. We put on stand-up, songs, improv. We have interviews with funny people, all kinds of funny stuff. If we can find it, we put it on the air for you. Please check it out. Please keep tuning in, 101.9 FM. Garrison Keillor is an American author, storyteller, humorist, and radio personality. He is known as host of the Minnesota public radio show, A Prairie Home Companion. He was born in Anoka, Minnesota, the son of Grace Ruth and John Philip Keillor, who was a carpenter and a postal worker. Garrison Keillor started his professional radio career in November 1969 with Minnesota Educational Radio, now Minnesota Public Radio, and distributing programs under the American Public Media brand. He hosted the morning program in the weekday drive time slot of 6 to 9 a.m. on KSJR 90.1 FM at St. John's University in Collegeville, which the station called A Prairie Home Entertainment. The show's eclectic music was a major divergence from the station's usual classical fare. During this time, he also began submitting fiction to The New Yorker, where his first story, Local Family Keeps Son Happy, appeared on September 19, 1970. Garrison Keillor resigned from the morning program in February of 71 to protest what he considered an attempt to interfere with his musical programming. The show became A Prairie Home Companion when he returned again in October. Garrison Keillor has written numerous magazine and newspaper articles and more than a dozen books for adults as well as children. In addition to writing for The New Yorker, he has written for The Atlantic Monthly and Salon.com. He's also authored an advice column at Salon.com under the name Mr. Blue. Following a heart operation, he resigned in September of 2001, his last column being titled Every Dog Has His Day. This is Garrison Keillor on CFRC 101.9 FM.
The Lives of the Cowboys, brought to you by Santa Fe Brand Paper Punch. If you've ever tried to put papers in a loose leaf binder out on the trail, you know that the old method of punching holes just doesn't work. Now there's a punch that fits any saddlebag and makes holes that are smooth, not jagged, and evenly spaced. And now the Lives of the Cowboys.
Care for more beans?
No, thank you.
I got plenty.
Yeah, I see that. No thanks.
I just have to throw them out.
Well, you just do that. That's right. Skunks will eat them.
By the way, did you know that in a bowl of Irish bean soup, there are exactly 239 beans?
No.
Suppose you're wondering why. Because if there was one more bean, it would be too farty. Yeah, that was a joke there.
I suspected it was a joke, yeah. Yes.
What, you don't care for jokes?
Well, I like jokes. I just don't laugh at them, not sure.
You don't laugh?
No, I don't laugh.
Well, how come that is?
I don't know. I just never did.
Mm-hmm. Is it because of you and that Evelyn Bibelo?
No, no. It has nothing to do with that.
I think it is. I think you're still in love with her. Even though she broke up with you.
No, she found somebody else here, Dusty. And
yeah.
She's got married and everything. So.
Right. Well, you're still in love, I can tell, because your eyes don't focus there.
My eyes don't focus because out here on the windswept, godforsaken prairie, there's nothing to focus on.
Well. You know?
Except for that cactus over there. I don't care to look at that, so.
Yeah, anyway. So, the old man died of a heart attack one Sunday morning when he was making love to his wife.
I see.
They made love every Sunday morning in time to the church bells ringing, which was a nice rhythm for him.
Mm-hmm.
Then, unfortunately, the ice cream truck came along.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I heard that one before, actually.
I know, but it's a classic.
You told it yesterday.
All right, fine. How about this one here? Where are the Virgin Islands?
Nowhere near the Isle of Man, I can tell you that.
I told you that one, too, huh? Okay.
Yep.
Okay. What happened when the chicken slept under the car?
Under the car? She woke up oily the next morning.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Why should you wear two pairs of pants when you play golf?
In case you get a hole in one.
Uh-huh. What do you call a man with a seagull on his head? Cliff.
I know. I heard that joke.
All right. Did you hear about the mechanic who was addicted to brake fluid?
Addicted to brake fluid?
Yes.
Yes, I did.
He said it was no problem. Right. He could stop anytime.
Right, exactly.
The Kleenex factory workers who went on strike?
That's right. Now everyone will have to pick it.
All right. Well, okay.
I mean, it's all jokes. Old jokes.
How am I supposed to get new jokes? Huh? Out here on the trail. I mean, you just have to use the ones I got over and over again.
Looks like we got visitors coming yonder.
I think
a couple
right
of
there.
Rough hombres over there.
Very rough.
One of them looks like Big Messer.
You know that other one there? It's a man known as Spike.
Spike, huh? Keep my eye.
Howdy, boys.
Morning, Big Messer. Spike.
Yeah, morning. What brings you two out here, anyway? Yeah.
Care for some beans? Got plenty of them.
Yes, sir, we got...
I came out here because I heard tell you said I was so ugly I looked like I'd been bobbing for French fries.
And I heard tell that you were telling people that when I sit on the beach, cats try to bury me.
Huh? I never said anything of that sort.
That's what they said you said.
Who said we said?
People said.
That's right.
What people?
People in town.
All right, look, we ain't been in town for weeks.
Well, this was some time ago.
Yeah, they said you told them that I was so dumb it took me an hour to make minute rice. That my teeth are so yellow that cars slow down when I smile. That true?
Mm-mm. Never said anything of the sort.
Uh-huh. You never said I was fat?
Never did. Not me. Nope.
And you? Did you say I was fat?
Nope, never did.
People said you said I was fat and have a great big butt. And...
I didn't see it.
Well, besides that my butt was so big that when I haul ass, I have to make several trips.
Well, I don't,
huh?
Don't know where they heard that. That's not from us. No,
I
sir.
Don't. Yeah.
Well, they said that you said that whenever I walk past a bathroom... The toilet flushes.
Oh, my.
Never said that.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, I'm here to tell you that you're going to pay for saying these things.
Wait a minute, Spike.
Come on.
Goddamn, Spike.
Yeah. I'm going to cut you off.
Don't do it, please.
Today.
No.
Yeah, me and Big Messer here.
That's right.
We control wireless internet in these parts.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of other parts,
please,
too.
Don't do it.
Your online days,
please,
are over,
no,
pal.
Yeah.
Your account has been closed. Your password has been revoked.
Please don't do that to me.
Hey, wait a minute.
Too cruel.
Partner.
Huh? What?
You mean to tell me you had wireless access out here on the prairie all
this time? Long as we stayed close to the telegraph
line. Well, you never told me that, for crying out loud.
Well, you never asked. What'd you think I was doing there, sitting there tapping away at my laptop?
Well, I thought you were, writing to Evelyn Bibelot.
Well, I was, actually.
Well, your days of writing to her are finished, mister.
That's right. You can get yourself a ballpoint pen and some postcards, pal.
Well, that don't beat all. If I'd have known you had wireless internet, then I could have found a whole new slew of jokes there.
Oh, you looking for new jokes?
Huh.
Here's one. The only thing attracted to you is the force of gravity.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you're such a pig. When you go to an all-you-can-eat buffet, they have to install a speed bump.
All right, now we're in the...
Oh, that hurt people.
Now, hey, fellas, yeah. What do you say we bury the hatchet?
Yeah.
Get a little bottle of rot gut whiskey out here. What do you say about that?
Some pretty nasty root beer here, too.
I don't know, but what do you think?
A single root.
How about
single
that?
Root. Tastes like dirt, actually.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, here,
all right, then.
Open a bottle here.
No.
There you go. Put a little rot gut in there for consistency.
All right. I'll take care of that. There we go.
There you go.
Wow. There. It's pretty good there. But then, now, there's no reason not to be friends.
Well, it smells like darn good rot gut, to tell you that much.
It is.
Yep. All right. Here we go. Here's to women and whiskey.
Women and whiskey.
Women. Yeah. Women especially.
Yeah. How about that, boys?
I didn't get married, Lefty. I couldn't do it because I'm in love with you. Maybe I shouldn't be, but I am.
I just don't think I'm the right person for you, Evelyn. I'm just too restless, that's all.
Well, guess I'm willing to take that chance.
I love you too much, Evelyn, to ever let you get mixed up with a person like myself.
Oh, Lefty.
Yeah.
Who's he talking to?
Lefty, Oh, he gets in this mood whenever he gets into the root beer.
Oh.
It's his lady love. They've broken up about 3 times.
Oh, so where is she now?
Well, he's not sure. Maybe Albuquerque, maybe Monteverde.
Wait.
Yeah?
Did you say Albuquerque?
That's right.
I had a gal in Albuquerque. Well, I used to. Gosh, haven't thought about her in years.
Well, you never told me about her.
Oh, yeah. She's a beautiful woman. Italian, I think she was.
Hey, I'm your best friend, Big Messer. I thought you would tell me these things.
Well, it was too painful to be talking about it.
You never could forget her, huh?
Never could.
I tell you.
Women, you can't live with them. You can't live without them.
I had a gal in Albuquerque, too.
You did?
Yeah.
In Albuquerque.
Yeah, she was in love with me, and then...
And what?
It's too painful.
Oh, yeah.
I can't even talk about
it. Well, here's my hanky. You take it.
It's been 10 years, and I never got over her. Pamela.
What'd you say?
Pamela. Yeah, never could forget her.
In Albuquerque.
Yep, Albuquerque.
That was the name of my girl in Albuquerque.
Pamela?
That's right.
You got a picture of her?
I do right here in my holster.
Wait,
there she is.
What? Why you? Come here. Give me that picture. You didn't know Pamela.
That was interesting, running into those two guys here.
Nice having to beat each other up and save us the trouble.
You gonna keep in touch with your lady love?
Oh, I don't know. She's probably better off without me, I would say.
Well, that goes without saying.
Well, cowboy wasn't meant to be happy there. Dusty, it's one thing we ought to know by now. It's that happiness was not part of the deal. Yeah. Get all good and lonesome out on the trail, and then we long for the comforts of society and companionship, and we head to town, and 2 days later, we're ready to be lonely again. It's just the meaning of it all.
So, what are we meant to be there?
Well, we're meant to be cowboys, I guess.
Yeah. What exactly does that mean?
I have no idea. That's what we're trying to find out here.
All right, then.
The Lives of the Cowboys, brought to you by Scorched Earth Underarm Deodorant. When you haven't bathed for weeks and you suddenly run into a beautiful woman you need results fast for, reach for Scorched Earth Underarm Deodorant and Antiperspirant. Takes away the smell and most of the hair.
Sue Scott and Jim Russell, Mr. Fred Newman, and Mr. Tom Keith.
This is Chris Brown from the Open Heart Society. Please support CFRC, your community radio, coming to you on 101.9 FM.
The Four Directions Aboriginal Student Center, located at 146 Berry Street, offers resources and services for Aboriginal students at Queen's University. Among its many services, the center offers a Three Sisters Feast Weekly on Wednesdays from 5 to 7 p.m. at the center, prepared by staff or a guest chef. The center is open daily, Monday to Friday, and hosts events throughout the year. For more information, visit queensu.ca/FDASC.
Five different DJs, 5 days a week. The Indie Wake Up Call, wrenching you from the perfect world of dreams to the harsh reality of the workday. Monday to Friday, 8 to 10 a.m. on CFRC 101.9.
Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/CFRC.
John Panette is an American actor and a stand-up comedian. He has toured the comedy club circuit since the 1980s, and he has appeared in cinema and television. Besides stand-up, John does impressions of the Chipmunks, Elvis Presley, Gollum from The Lord of the Rings, and an Ewok, as well as various ethnic accents. He occasionally sings from The Wizard of Oz in stand-up routines. He was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and he graduated from Malden Catholic School in 1982. He started a career in accounting, but on the advice of friends, he left to pursue a career in comedy. He got a break when asked to tour with Frank Sinatra. John Panette is a regular guest on The Tonight Show and on The View. John Panette was in duets Dear God and Junior. He was a regular on the series Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and he starred as the carjack victim in the final episode of Seinfeld. John Panette was named Stand-Up Comedian of the Year by American Comedy Awards in 1999, and he received a Gemini Award nomination for his televised performance at the Montreal Comedy Festival in 2000. Here's John Panette on Absolutely Frivolous on CFRC 101.9 FM.
I bought a house in Pennsylvania near my family. I have family that I'm always flying there to see. My sisters, my brother-in-laws, my nieces, my nephew, and I'll buy a house near my family. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm the youngest by 9 years. I have one sister in Pennsylvania. She's a health nut. We're very close. We go to a restaurant. I order. She said, he'll have a salad. So I have to order at another table and pretend to go to the bathroom a lot. My other sister, she's gonna decorate my house because I'm always on the road. She's gonna be my interior decorator. Now, I don't know what that is. I grew up poor, and not the kind of poor where you go, we were poor, but we never knew it. I was certain of it. And I was not happy about it. Periodically, I would say, hey, just want you to know that I know we're poor. So, I can't do anything with a house anyways. I've lived on the road, you know, half of my life. When I bought the house in Vegas, the first week I put the dishes outside for room service. Home Depot, I went to Home Depot. First of all, you could die in there, they'd never find you. Second of all, I realized everything here needs assembly and started to hyperventilate and had to wait in a car. I can't work on anything in the house. If you can do home improvements, if you can do repairs, that's craft, that's God-given talent. I shouldn't do it. I just know I shouldn't do it. If something goes wrong, I call. It made a spark, I'm leaving now. Call me when it doesn't do that anymore. But I didn't have to worry about anything in Pennsylvania because I had my interior decorator to take care of the house for me. She's gonna decorate it. She's gonna shop for the furniture. She's dragged me to 80 furniture stores. I've lived there 18 months. We're still going to furniture stores. I almost killed one furniture guy. I said, I'll take this couch. We'll order it for you. It'll take 14 weeks. It's right here. Help me get it in the truck. No, this is our floor model. If we give you this, people won't know what we have. Yeah, but you don't have it, so help me get it in the truck. I went to one furniture store, I heard angels, ha ha ha, Lazy Boy. Yeah, my furniture's in there, it has my name on it. My sister brings stuff over every day that I'm off the road to decorate the house. She brought over a chestnut roasting pan. It's from the 18th century. Wow, that's great. I was walking around the kitchen the other day going, where's my chestnut roasting pan? And I said, well, I guess I'll go get some chestnuts. She said, no, it's just to hang up on the wall. No, you paid $250 for that out of my money. I'm roasting chestnuts in it. I don't care if I burn the house down. I'm originally from Boston, as I said. And I have an autographed shirt of Larry Bird in my kitchen. I come back from the road, and it's been taken down and replaced with a picture of a giant pear. And she's in front of the pear going, now isn't that better? And I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but what a giant pear! Was I eating a pear one day and going, this pear is so good. I wish I had something to remind me of it for the rest of my life. And then I asked her, I said, where's my Larry Bird shirt? Oh, I put that away. Where? She has a bad memory. And so I'm going, where? away. Somewhere. And she does that with a lot of my stuff. She puts it away. So on my days off from the road, I walk around the house looking for all my stuff that's gone away. Why does everything I love go away? And the neighbors see me wandering around the house. Look at that poor little man. He wanders and he's so sad. They can see me because there's no blinds in the house. Yeah, I got an estimate for blinds. You know about blinds? They're expensive. I didn't know that. They want like $5,000. I'm not paying that. If I walk around naked long enough, the neighbors will chip in. How are you, Mr. and Mrs. Lipinski? My family ruined Thanksgiving for me. My first Thanksgiving in the house, I was gonna host it. I never hosted Thanksgiving. I was gonna have it catered. I wanted to be done really nice. They said, no, you always take us to restaurants. We're gonna cater it for you. We're bringing food. There's 10 of us. My sister brings a 12-pound turkey. Grace did not go the way I would have liked it to. Thank you, God, for the 12-pound turkey. I didn't know they made them that small. It must have got hit by a car. I hope it didn't suffer. Since there are 10 of us, tell me there are 9 more turkeys just like this in the kitchen. Tell me this is like the Cornish game hen of turkeys. And my other sister, the health nut, she brought the vegetables. She brought turnips. People bring stuff to your house. You want to be nice, gracious. How do you like my turnips? I think you're supposed to eat these. These suck with butter on them. And nothing sucks with butter on them. Turnips are a horrible vegetable and they show up during the holidays. Nobody cooks turnips on a weekly basis. What is with the turnip? First of all, you can't cook it. Can't cut it with any knife in the kitchen. You have to bounce it off the concrete for an hour to soften it up. Then you have to boil it for 8 hours. If it's that difficult, the turnip doesn't want to be eaten. Turnips are a root vegetable. They grow in the ground. That means at the beginning of the world, God made the turnip and said, no. This didn't come out right. Gabriel, try this. Oh, you don't like it either, huh? I was going to put it on a tree, but you know what? I'll bury it and they won't find it. Yeah, well, some idiot dug it up and brought it to my house for Thanksgiving.
The year was 1966, 3 years before the well-known Stonewall riots. In the Tenderloin district of San Francisco, a rapid development of the area had caused many transgender people into more low-income housing and to the streets. As cross-dressing was illegal at the time, in San Francisco, many people had difficulty securing employment. In addition, police enforcement had increased its pressure within the community. The heated relationship between the trans community and police exploded during an altercation between a police officer and a transgendered patron in Gene Compton's cafeteria. An officer attempting to arrest a trans woman was paid in kind with a cup of coffee to his face. The riot began and spread to the streets, whereby a police car was destroyed. The next night brought more members of the trans community with Tenderloin street folks and other members of the queer community to picket Compton's cafeteria, which had refused to let transgender people back in. The riot marked a turning point in queer organizing and LGBT history. Do you know your Pride history?
This is the Opera. Hello, I'm David Smith, and I'd like to invite you to explore the exciting world of opera with me every Sunday at 11 a.m. here on CFRC. We'll listen to opera excerpts, full-length operas, and profiles of artists past and present. Please join me every Sunday from 11 till 1 for this is the opera.
Many places in my life and time, I've sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad rhyme, I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching, but we're alone now. And I'm singing this song for you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I've treated you unkindly, but girl, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. So darling, can't you please see through me? 'Cause we're alone now, and I'm singing my song for you. You taught me precious secrets, the truth withholding nothing. You came out in front and I was hiding. But now I'm so much better. So if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love's in there hiding. There's no space or time. I love you for my life, 'cause you're a friend of mine. Ooh. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone and I was singing my song for you. When we're together, we were alone and I was singing my song for you.